I wasn't able to be here last week. I wasn't feeling well, and I was so grateful to be able to watch from home. And it reminded me of the people that are at home. We miss you here. And we are grateful to the people who take care of the technology so that can happen, so that we can watch from home when we need to. So I just wanted to acknowledge that. As you can see, this morning someone is missing. And you can see that we are very happy to have back someone who has returned. We are grateful for Pastor Schwartz to be here today. And we do wish Pastor Townsend and Sarah continued safe and fun time away. And we are so happy to see Barbie just arrive, so. Is the microphone okay?
Yes.
Okay. Patty has a mission moment for us.
You changed my GLP-1 experience. I'm more regular. I have
good morning. So, beginning of the month, I got to return home from Tanzania again. That was my 20th trip. Can you believe it? Our school is doing great. Our students are thriving when they're at school anyway. At home, it's tough. But our tailoring students are busy learning and learning. They were just starting to learn how to make dresses. Some of them had the sleeves, some of them had the bodice, some of them had my skirt. This was the first dress they started making.
That's beautiful.
They had already learned how to make button-down shirts, and then they were making their, had already learned how to make skirts. And the end of last week, I get to receive the letters that they sent, the ones that are sponsored. And they had, some of them had written that they could make the shirts and the skirts all on their own without any help from anybody else. So that was exciting. And some have moved on to making dresses now. Our carpentry students, while I was there, were busy making beds. And remember, this is without electrical tools, both in carpentry and in sewing, because wherever they land, they probably won't have electricity. The carpentry guys, at the very end of their 2-year class, they get to use a few electric tools, but not until then, because they may not have electricity. After I got home, I got this video showing the finished products. So they make beautiful furniture at the school. They just started in January, so they've made great progress. So you're just getting a little snippet. I could go on for an hour, but you get a little snippet of what's going on over there. Every morning when they arrive at school, they have what we call morning glory, which is devotions. And every evening before they leave, they have evening glory. And now the students are totally in charge of this. And remember, a third of our students are Muslims. So I didn't see anybody leave. They don't have to participate, but nobody leaves. Here there, the student is reading scripture, and they pick the songs, and they have a short little devotion about what they're singing. One day when we were there, I could recognize, it's terrible, but this old brain can't understand Swahili. I know a few phrases, but I did recognize how great thou art. And then another day they sang Faith of Our Fathers. A few times I can recognize a tune. And then we had an opportunity to invite the village people in. We taught first aid. So we taught all our students, and then we invited the village people in. We taught over 100 people wound care and burn care, choking, and then some CPR, just basically chest compressions. And one of our classes, 80% were Muslim. And we always tell the gospel story. Everybody gets a bracelet with the symbols on that you can kind of see the symbols on my chart there. Underneath each symbol in Swahili is what each symbol means. It's an arrow down that Jesus came to earth from heaven. And then there's a cross that he died on the cross for our sins. And then there's a tomb, a symbol of a tomb, that he was in the tomb and died for 3 days. And then there's an arrow up that he wrote, went, ascended into heaven, and it's with the Father preparing a room for us, if we are believers in Jesus. And then there's an arrow down that he's coming again for those that trust in him and believe. One of the Muslims from the community told me that they believe that he's a prophet, and I got to have a little interaction with him through an interpreter. Humphrey is one of our employees that takes care of all our new construction on our campus, and he's showing the bracelet that everybody gets. So it was a wonderful, wonderful time. Of course, there's always very hard moments, but it was very productive. We were very, very busy the whole time we were there. And invite anybody that's interested to come with us sometime. We'll go again. The plan is in January, and we'll do an eyeglass clinic and invite people in and hear the gospel again. Baguni, the village we're in, is about 80% Muslim, so it's always amazing to get to tell the gospel to people that don't believe, and then we pray like crazy that the Holy Spirit messes with them. So thank you very much.
I don't like technology, and obviously it doesn't like me either. Okay. All right, I would invite the band to come on up as we have our call to worship. When we think of receiving a call, our first thought might be, where's my phone? When we were younger, we might have been called in from play, for dinner, or perhaps to clean our room. During our lives, we may have been called to serve in helping others or to be on a committee at church. So what is the significance of being called to worship? This call emphasizes that worship is not a human invention, but rather a divine command to assemble and commune. Psalm 34:3 encourages gathering together to magnify and exalt the Lord. It reads, "O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. So together we bring praise to our God."
We start with verse from Psalm 118:24. It says, "This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." So let's express our gratitude and joy for each new day. It's a gift from God. Which says, "I keep asking that the God of God..." Jesus Christ. The Father may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of our heart may also be enlightened.
Our responsive reading today is from Psalm 105. Look to the Lord and his strength.
Seek his
Remember the wonders he has done, his miracles and the judgments he pronounced. O descendants of Abraham, his servant, O sons of Jacob, his chosen. He is the Lord our God. He remembers his covenant forever. Please join me in prayer. Father God, we come again to present ourselves to you in worship. We may not feel as safe in your world as we once did, but Lord, we know we are safe in you. Our responsive reading reminds us to look to you and to your strength, to seek your face always, to remember the wonders and the miracles you have done and the judgments you have pronounced. When we come to you in prayer, we are truly asking to be in the holiest place we can imagine, a personal conversation with you, our God. Now we ask your blessing on this service and the message we are to hear through Pastor Mark. And we ask for your strength to use that message in our own approach to you each time we pray, and also in our approach to others as we represent you to them. In your holy name we pray. Amen. I am reminded of scripture, a song that says, "He who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it." So today, we get to hear the second part. That's right.
The rest of the story.
Yeah.
Well, it's good to be here. Thank you so much, Becky. Doesn't she do a great job with the liturgy and so forth? Thank you so much. Good job. She always has such great insights on, like, the call to worship was amazing today. So thank you. Thank you for that. Well, I'm back. I don't know if that's a good thing or not.
A very good thing.
No, that's not why I said that. It was so cool when I walked in here. I don't know if you've hired people to be the welcoming committee, but there were about three or four people that just met me kind of as I walked in. And I was so blessed by that. I actually thought a parade was going to start at any minute. I just felt so loved and cared for. And that means a lot. So keep that up. And in my notes here, I'm going to get ahead of myself a little bit. I kind of calculated how many weeks ago it was. I'll tell you what that is later. And then I'll tell you kind of a funny story about when I was getting ready for today and so forth, but I'll do that later. I did want to bring a word of encouragement from the Bible Conference, Okoboji Bible Conference Ministries. There's so many great things that are going on. See, you don't get to see those until the week of conference. I get to see it all year and how God goes before us, and he answers questions and prayers before we even know we have questions and prayers. He's already ahead of us. And I had another one of those things happen this week where we desperately needed some things done on our conference grounds. And I was just with another person. They were riding around in the golf cart. They wanted to see what was going on. And that person said, "I didn't come here to do this, but I'd like to write you a check." And it was for a pretty amazing amount of money to help finish some of the projects that we need to do. So it's just amazing. I mean, God gets the glory because, you know, I'm not a politician. I wasn't trying to get anything from this person. I'm just enthusiastically excited about what's going on. So I hope you come this year. You don't want to miss anything this year. I don't want to highlight certain things. We have some great speakers lined up. We have two great concerts. We have the Browns coming from Lamar's. They're actually peaking right now as a group. They've been around a long time, but I've never seen them so good. Do you know who the Browns are? Yeah, some of you know who they are. And so maybe you've seen them like a half a dozen times, but they are excited. They come to the conference. They don't just come to lead like worship or a concert. They come every year. They go to the classes. They go to the sessions and stuff like that. I don't know if you knew that, but you'll see them there. So they were so excited that we asked them to do this concert on Saturday night, August 1st. So you don't want to miss that. I would say get there early because I think it's going to be a pretty well-attended concert and so forth. We got so many other things we're doing. I would invite your pastor, your new interim pastor, to the pastor's luncheon. It's actually called Honoring Your Pastor and Ministry Leader. So if you have any ministry leaders and pastors, please come to that. We're limiting that to 100 people because I have a budget. And when those pastors actually leave that place, our dream and our goal is that they feel so blessed and loved. Being a pastor is kind of a lonely career in so many different ways. Don't get me started, but I have this vision, or God put this vision on our team's heart, that we just want to really take care of the pastors. Listen to their stories, hear what's going on in their lives. And then they will walk away with a lot of gifts. About $48 worth of gifts. And we had somebody that underwrote this thing, and he said, "We're just going to bless those pastors. They're going to get a gift card for this and a gift card for that." And actually, it's a $25 gift card to the bookstore at the Bible Conference, $25. And then they're going to get a gift card to go to Treasure Village with their family. And because I had a pastor say, just let me go miniature golfing somewhere. That's all I want. I went, "All right, maybe we can do that." And then they'll get and then we'll throw in a nutty bar on top of that. So anyway, get excited about it. If you guys want to be involved in our pie and ice cream this year, you might get a phone call. If you want to do it, you know, come up to me, and it's a little bit of work, but you basically serve the pie and ice cream one of the evening. You did it last year, and you guys did a great job. Pastor Voth was like, "What is this again?" And he had a great time. He had a great team there, and so thank you for that. Okay, enough about the Bible Conference. If you have any questions about it, please ask me, because I'm the guy that has some of the answers. So I preached, I started preaching, this was on, I had to look this up. March 8th is when I was here, when I preached on the first part of the Lord's Prayer. And my goal was to preach the next part of the Lord's Prayer. And I remember Becky and I were talking, Barbie was listening in early on that morning, trying to figure out, what are we going to do? Are we going to have the service or not? And I love what their leadership said, is that we want to have the service, but we also don't want people to feel like they have to be there. And then they slip in the parking lot or fall, or, you know, it's always about taking care of the people. And so they did cancel that. I was so bummed. I was so bummed. It's like, really? Because we enjoy coming here regardless. So, and so that was 16 weeks ago. And so I opened up I brushed off, you know, took a, you know, a, you know, got the dust off of this sermon from 16 weeks ago. And my opening line is, last week we talked about the first half of the Lord's Prayer. So obviously I couldn't start off with that this week. And, you know, it was fresh in my mind back there too. So I'm not going to go over the first part. I know your pastor is preaching through the Lord's Prayer as well. He'll do a much better job than I will because he's probably got all the ins and outs of the theology. I'm just here to kind of give you some information that'll help you kind of practically put this prayer into your life. So I'm going to get started just in a second, but let me just say a prayer and ask God to bless what's going on today. Lord, we thank you for this time, this opportunity to hear your word and this powerful, powerful prayer. It's called the Lord's Prayer because it's your prayer. It's a power-packed prayer with so many different fundamental things that we should be praying for to you daily, weekly, monthly. We should pray it all the time. And so, Lord, I pray that you would bless what is being said today. I do pray that these words would come from your throne room and that we could all understand them. And then not just to understand them, a lot of people know the Lord's Prayer, but to be able to put this into our lives and to live this out. I know it becomes routine and rote and we just don't even think of the words, but Lord, help us to understand these words as we go forward. And we pray you would bless this this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So let's say the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors or trespassers. And lead us not into temptation. But it's the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Well, you guys are good. And you have the trespasses. We'll talk about that a little bit later. And that's good. I mean, trespasses, debts. I mean, who came? What's a debt? What's a trespass? Nobody knows. But we'll talk about that later. This is an amazing prayer. Like I said in my prayer, that this is something that Jesus taught his disciples. And it's something that we, as Christians, we should know and should be a part of our regular lives to say prayer. You know, when you go to a function that has a multi-denominational function, the same thing happened that just happened here. Most people know the Lord's Prayer, but there's little idiosyncrasies in the prayer that we learned as Lutherans or Reformed or Baptist or whatever, right? We all learned it differently. But it's a great unifying prayer when we're together. So we talked about last time, our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Today, we're going to pick it up there, and we're going to discover the rest of the Lord's Prayer. So I'm going to try to go through this piece by piece and so forth. But first of all, the prayer says, give us this day our daily bread. What does this mean? Give us this day our daily bread. I mean, a lot of people probably have lots of ideas of what that means. Does it mean that every day we should have an English muffin or a bagel or, in the morning? Is that kind of what it's talking about? Give us this day our daily bread. Does it mean that God will always provide at least bread for us each day? No, this means that God will meet our most basic needs of life. It's really what it means. That's kind of a cool phrase. And, a lot of cultures have different kinds of breads and sustenance that get them going in the morning. But this prayer is a confession of need. Lord, we need you. This is something that is a basic need in life. This prayer is a plea for God to provide for our basic needs in life. Now, I understand, I wasn't going to talk about this. In fact, I didn't know Barbie was going to be here. I was telling everybody she's going to go to our church, Good News Church, because her sister was here. This is Barbie's sister here, Betty. They're twins, and so would you welcome both of them today, especially Betty? There you go. Yeah. I wanted to tell you something. Last night, had a long day. We put I didn't do the roof, but we had a roof put on one of our buildings at the Bible conference, and so I was there all day. I didn't expect to be there all day. I was there from 7 in the morning till about 7 in the evening. And I came home, and I had a little bit of a heaviness in my chest. Anybody ever have that before? Yeah, well, anyway, I felt this pressure in my chest. So Barbie's asking all these questions. Betty's asking me, are you okay? You know, I'm like, I'm good, I'm fine, I'm a man, I don't need any help, I'm just good. And so yeah, I started to go to bed, and it just was kind of a pressure in my chest. Well, some other health stuff that I've been dealing with, when you put those two together, you probably should go into the emergency room, right? How many would say amen to that? All the women, all the men are like, I ain't going to the hospital. Are you kidding me? They're gonna put a thing on you that's called a, what is that thing called? Your IV? You know what that is? It's like handcuffs. You can't get out. It's like, you know, it's like, how do I get out of this place? So it's to keep the men in the room. So anyway, we went there last night about 10:30. And I was kind of, the reason I went, I told Barbie, I said, if I feel like something is wrong, I will go in. I'm not one of those people that won't go in. But I started to think that that was such a basic need. Like it was a need that I had in my life. Because everything we were reading, you should never go to the internet and ask the internet anything. But does anybody listen to that? No. And so it said, if you've got this and this is a combination of these things, you should go in. And so I, well, what about this? You should go in. But what about this? What if I do that? Nope, you should go in. This should call 911 right now. You know, I'm having this conversation with AI, whoever that is, Alan Irving, I think his name is. So we ended up going in, and I told Barbie, the reason I'm going in is because I have a daughter and two daughters and I have a wife, but she's there with me. She's doing this with me. And I have a granddaughter, and I just felt personally that they would be really mad at me if I didn't go in and something happened. So I went in. So then you go in, and all the women are like, well, you were smart for coming in. And, you know, there's so many men that would have. I'm like, okay, I get enough of that. I felt pretty foolish being there because I didn't think anything was wrong. Well, guess what? Nothing was really wrong. I mean, the doctor came in and checked everything, and everything's fine. So. But the reason I'm bringing that up isn't to get glory or to sensationalize or be dramatic of my life. It was just that you start going right back to the basic needs of life. And I felt that last night. And I was praying. And so I laid in the bed. We were there for like 2.5 hours. Really? Honestly? Got there at 10:30. We got home about 1 o'clock. And I said the Lord's Prayer probably 50 times. Trying to figure out, Lord, are you trying to teach me something? Because I knew I was preaching on this, but nothing really resonated. It's just that I said it many, many times. Maybe that's why everything was good. I don't know. But this plea to provide for us, Lord, every day, to provide our basic needs in life. Now, Patty could tell you that in America, we don't have as much of that because we just have so much. We're just so blessed. But when you go to Tanzania, not so much. I'm guessing. You know, you see things that, or if you've been on a mission anywhere, you might see that more than you would see in your hometown, some of the needs that you have. I know you guys do a food pantry and try to help people that are hungry, and that's an answer to those people's prayer when you do that. But the basic, it provides for the basic needs of life. That's what you're asking for in the Lord's Prayer. Let me give you a story. Maybe you've heard this before. In October of 1942, Captain Eddie Rickenbacker and his hand-picked crew of the B-17 Flying Fortress were reported lost at sea. Some of you might have read this story before. Somewhere over the Pacific, out of radio range, the plane ran out of fuel and crashed into the ocean. The 9 men spent the next month floating in 3 rafts on the ocean. I'm freaked out already. I'd rather go get my heart checked than be in his situation. They battled the heat, the storms, the water, the fish, everything that was around them the whole time. Sharks, some 10 feet long, would ram their 9-foot boats. Can you imagine? Sharks ramming your 9-foot boats. And you have no way to get out of this. After only 8 days, they rationed their rations were eaten and destroyed by salt water. It would take a miracle for them to survive. One morning after their daily devotions, Rickenbacker leaned his head back against the raft and pulled his hat over his eyes. A bird landed on his head. He peered out from under the hat. Every eye was on him. He instinctively knew it was a seagull, and he caught it. Rickenbacker caught it, and the crew ate it. The bird's intestines were used for bait to catch fish, and the crew survived to tell the story. Now, it's a pretty dramatic story, and it's a true story. The story about the stranded crew with no hope or help in sight. A story about prayers offered and prayers answered. I'm sure that when these men desperately prayed, they didn't pray for material possessions. I'm sure that when they were in those boats, they didn't pray for their favorite sports team to win that day. I'm sure that these men didn't pray to win the lottery. They were desperate. They didn't know if they were going to make it. I'm sure that when they prayed, the heart of their prayer was that they would just survive long enough to get rescued. I'm sure that they prayed that God would meet their most basic needs. Say it with me. Give us this day our daily bread. Not only does Jesus want us to pray for God to provide for our basic needs in life, he goes on in this prayer and he says the next part. And by the way, that what I just talked about is huge. You know how fast we go by that word? We don't even think of what it means. You know, give us this day our daily bread. And we go to the next line. But just focus on that. Carve out some time. Think about that. Do you ever do that? What are your basic needs? What are some of the things that God wants to provide for you in your life? Then he goes on and he talks about this big part. He says, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, or forgive us our trespasses as we forgive. I'm not sure. I was raised Catholic. I should know that. What does it mean to forgive our debts? And what does it mean as we forgive our debtors? What does that mean? I mean, it doesn't sound like language that we use today. What does the word debt or debtors mean? Well, if we replace the word debt with sin, we might understand it better. Let's try it. Okay, ready? Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sinned against us. Does that make more sense? It does to me. I'm like, why don't we change it? But they're not going to change it. It's been around a long time. This is a very simple concept. We're asking the Lord to forgive us of our sins and help us to be in the process of forgiving others of their sins. It's a great prayer. Just that in itself. If that was just it, that would be a great prayer. Forgive us our sins and help us to forgive the sins of other people. As Christians, we're continually in the process of letting God down, making mistakes, and sinning. Can I get an amen on that? Yeah, I don't know why we do it, but we do it so well. But we always are letting God down. We're always making mistakes. We're sinning. It's in our nature to do that. And God wants us to confess our sins to him so that we can continue to pursue righteousness. The Bible says in 1 John 1:9 that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So forgive us, Lord, of our sins. You say that? Well, that's the easy part. That's the easy part. The hard part is forgiving others who have sinned against us. That's where it gets really difficult. It's tough. It's easy to ask for forgiveness from God. It's very difficult to forgive others who have hurt us. Anybody agree with that? Yeah, a lot of hands going up. And yet the Bible says we really can't worship God if we're holding a grudge against someone. You know, I've preached this so many times in the number of years that I've been a pastor. And I always, almost every time, I have somebody come up and say, but you don't know my brother. You don't know my mom. You don't know my Aunt Louise or whatever. I mean, you've never met them. There's no way. I can't do it. And, let me tell you what it says in Matthew 5:23. Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and reconcile to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. How many times do we come to church, and you know, you're not getting anything out of worship. You're just kind of going through the motions. There's no power in the music. There's no power in the words. There's no power even in the Word of God. Because you've got brokenness that needs to be reconciled. You have some people that you need to follow what it says in the Lord's Prayer and forgive those who have sinned against you. And I know it's hard. Trust me, I got a story. I could spend 20 minutes telling you a story of somebody that has hurt me so bad, I can barely think of their name. And yet I continue to forgive them, but they still are mad at me. You know how that goes. And in other words, God doesn't want us to bring our gift of worship to him unless we have reconciled to forgive others. You know, a lot of people live with a lot of resentment, a lot of anger towards people, and they live their whole lives that way. And they want to get those people back. What do they say? That resentment is like you drinking the poison and expecting the other person to die. But the reverse happens. They don't even know they hurt us most of the time. People that have hurt you, they don't even know. But you've lived your life just being frustrated with that person. When you see them in the store, you walk the other way. When they're at the family gathering, you just don't want to be there anymore. But it's so life-giving to be able to say, hey, let's talk about whatever happened. I'm willing to forgive you. And my wife and I, we've been in like two arguments in our marriage. Per minute, per day. And it's so funny because we're so, you know, like, oh, well, what about this? And well, what about this? And we go back and forth. And then one person breaks. Either she breaks and is humble, which happens more than me, or I break and I get humble. And then isn't it interesting that all of a sudden we both become humble? And then we're mad at each other because they beat us to the punch of being humble. You hear what I'm saying? I'm using that as an example. That it's hard to forgive other people. It's hard to, you know, not be mad at someone because they hurt you and so forth. And there's certainly a plenty of people that have hurt me, and I'm sure you have your list as well in that process. But God doesn't want us to bring our gift of worship to him unless we've reconciled and forgiven others. How many of us try to worship week after week knowing that we have unresolved relationships? How many of us need to go and resolve conflict with a friend, a neighbor, a brother, a sister, a mom, a dad, a grandmother, grandfather, or whoever? Let me give you a story. In one of the legends of Leonardo da Vinci, you've ever heard of him? Yeah, we've all heard of him. The artist is said to have painted his enemy's face on the shoulders of Judas Iscariot. By the way, I love that. I mean, it's not good because it's going against everything I'm saying. But yeah, can you imagine? There's Judas Iscariot and it's Uncle Bill that he hated, you know. It's sad, but it's kind of funny. As the story goes, Da Vinci could not conjure up the face of Jesus Christ. He couldn't do it. He couldn't come up with what Jesus would look like no matter how hard he tried. It's a true story. Or it's a legend, I guess. But when he forgave his enemy, he saw Christ's face in a dream that night. And he was able to depict the picture of Christ the way he needed to. Let me ask you a question. Do you have someone in your life that you need to forgive? Now, I know everybody's eye contact went away at this point. But is there somebody in your life you just need to forgive? Now, I know it's hard, but I tell you, we could have a long talk about this. Do you need to leave your gift at the altar and go forgive that person? Some of us need to go and reconcile some relationships with other people. I will guarantee you that you will, if you go and reconcile these relationships that you have, they're undone and broken, your worship will be better. I guarantee it. I don't think you'll know that you've got this freedom, this heavy weight has been lifted from your shoulders. You'll be able to come each week and leave your gift of worship to God with no regrets. You'll be more connected and God will do more things in your life, and it'll just be a natural thing. You will be transformed. You will be set free. You will be reconciled not only to God, but also to God's family and the people you need to be reconciled to. Jesus then shows us another important concept when he says this. I'm moving on in the Lord's Prayer now. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. You ever pondered that? You hear what that's saying? Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Now, this is saying the Lord's Prayer, and the Lord's Prayer, whoops, my phone's going off. Oops, I'm busy. It's my daughter. Sorry, I shouldn't have answered that. Will you forgive me? The Bible says you have to forgive me. Okay, where was I at? Now, this is saying the Lord's Prayer has created a problem for Christians in every age. This is kind of hard to understand. You know, because it says, lead us not into temptation. Does the Lord lead us into temptation? Wait a minute. What is that all about? So in James 1, 13 and 14, I want to clarify this with you. The scripture says, when tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. God doesn't tempt. This is clarifying that. So if you have a problem with what the Lord says, or the Lord's Prayer says, look at this scripture. When tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he, or by his own evil desire, he is drug away and enticed. In other words, God does not tempt. Can you say that? And God will not tempt. Can you say that? It's not part of his DNA. It's not part of who he is. But that little phrase there gets everybody upside down. The source of temptation is not in God. It's in our own desires, and it comes from the tempter, Satan himself. And you can look that up in 1 Thessalonians 3:5. You can look up that particular passage. So why does it say in the Lord's Prayer, lead us not into temptation? After extensive reading and studying, I found that the word that is used for temptation means trial or persecution. God himself does not tempt, but nevertheless, he allows the faithful, us Christians, to be tempted in order to test and to purify us. It's kind of he wants us to grow. I would say God loves us just the way we are, but he refuses us to leave us there because he wants so much more from us. He doesn't want us to just 10 years later be the same person. He wants us to be growing. And sometimes through those tests and those tribulations that we go through in life, it builds us, right? We could have a discussion here and everybody would have a story about you went through a very difficult time and you thought you couldn't even breathe as you were going through that time. But now on the other side of it, you feel like, man, it's such a blessing. What happened to you that was so bad was such a blessing going forward. And it's just the way God works. God does not lead us into temptation, but sometimes he allows us to be tested by them. All Christians struggle with temptation. Sometimes it's so subtle that we don't even realize it's happening. God has promised that he would allow us to be tempted, God has promised that we won't allow us to be tempted beyond what we can bear. You know where that scripture's at? 1 Corinthians 10:13. This is a great scripture. I'm sure some of you have this to memory. No temptation, it says 1 Corinthians 10:13, no temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. How many have ever experienced that before? I have many times. Because I fall to temptation. In fact, I am so good at it that I'll say, well, I know the Lord's going to forgive me, so it's not going to matter. Right? I mean, I do that. Anybody ever do that? Maybe I'm the only one. And you know how many times God has put somebody in my pathway? He's called me right before I was going to do something stupid. I mean, he gave me a way out. He cares about us individually. He doesn't just care for your church. He doesn't care for Christians in general. He cares about you personally. He loves your life. He loves you. In fact, your picture is on his refrigerator. He loves you that much. He thinks about you. He adores you. He wants what's best for you. And so he wants to protect you from these temptations in life. And even if we are tempted, the Bible tells us that we should consider it a joy because this will help us mature in Christ. This comes out of James 1:2. My wife could come up here. She's memorized this whole passage in the book, first chapter of James. But this is verse 1:2 says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers or sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete and lacking in anything." Isn't that a great verse? So when we're going through these trials, we should consider it what? Pure joy. And you're like, what? No. You don't understand. I don't like trials. But if we know that God's going to do a greater work, we can say, okay, Lord, I'm along for the ride. Let's go. Let's see what's going to happen as we go forward. So, but it helps mature us in Jesus Christ. So what have we learned about all this? I give you four things, and I gave them to you in your notes. It's microscopic, so you have to get a magnifying glass out to see it. Take a picture with your phone and then blow it up, you know. So what have we learned? Number one, God does not tempt. Can you say that? Number two, God does not allow us to be tempted. Can you say that? Number three, it's long, so I'm just going to say it. I'm not going to have you say it back. When we are tempted, he allows us to be tempted. He won't allow us to be tempted with anything we can't handle. In fact, he will give us a way out of that temptation. That's number three. Number four, if we are tempted, we should consider it pure joy because God is allowing us to grow in perseverance. You see, this prayer, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one," is best explained as a plea of conscious weakness, a cry of the soul that God hears our prayers. It's a crying out to God. "Lord, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Lord, I want to be on your side." So, and as much as that sounds different when you read it, that's what it means. That God cares about us, and he's going to take care of us in that process. Now, all right, we good? A little bit more here. Finally, the ending of the Lord's Prayer. "For thine is your kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Now, some of you say, well, that's not in the Bible. Did you know that's not in the Bible? Some of you did because your pastor probably already told you that. It's interesting. So why do we say that? You know, the Catholic Church doesn't say that because they just stick purely to the, they end the prayer, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." They end it right there. And I've always wondered why. Why is that? Maybe you've done the same thing. Well, in the early church, the liturgy of the church would have said those words. And it's kind of a doxology of that prayer. Jesus didn't say it. It's added in some ways. Sometimes you'll have a footnote. It'll say these weren't Jesus' original words, but this was added later or whatever. It's a doxology traditionally said at the end of Matthew's version. It generally acknowledges not to be Jesus' original words, but an adaptation of the prayer from liturgical use of the early church. Isn't that interesting? I think that's interesting. So let me prove it to you. 1 Chronicles 29:10-13 says this: "David praised the Lord in the presence of the whole assembly, saying, 'Praise to you, O Lord, God of our father Israel, from everlasting to everlasting.'" Here's some of the words now. You hear the words? "Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor, for everything in heaven and earth is yours. Yours, O Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. Wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and give strength to all. Now, our God, we give thanks and praise your glorious name." It's part of that's kind of the foundation of what the people would say after they added that to the Lord's Prayer. We don't really know who did that or how that happened, but that would have been part of, like, if you come to church, there's probably some songs you sing here, and everybody knows the songs, because you've been here, and they, oh, I know that song, and then, boop, you do it. And it's just something that's familiar. Well, this is familiar territory for the early church. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. So, the Lord's Prayer is a remarkable prayer. Would you say that's true? It's a remarkable prayer. I hope that when you pray the Lord's Prayer as you go forward, and I pray that for myself, from now on, we'll have a sense that we are not just reciting words, but we're actually praying a model prayer in devotion to God. That we're praying those words as an actual structure of how we can pray as we go forward. We don't just have to pray that once a month or once a week at church. This is going to be a model of prayer for yourself. In fact, let me challenge you to do something. To take the Lord's Prayer, get a journal out or a piece of paper, and just take a little bit of each of the words and just write some notes by it. And say, oh, maybe I can do this when I pray, or maybe I can do this when I pray. And let the Holy Spirit just work in you and let him form these words into your everyday life. See, I believe that a church service, you know, we have the approach to God, the call to worship. You have the word of God. This is what I'm doing right now. And then we have the response to God. So approach, word, response. Your responsibility is to respond to what you just heard. It's not the church's responsibility. It's your individual responsibility. So Lord, so you say, well, Lord, what are you teaching me? What is something that I need to think about? Maybe I need to carve out some time today and say, yeah, that point that he made on this, I want to do some more research on that, or I want to read some more about what the scripture says. Not to prove me wrong, but to grow closer to Jesus. Does that make sense? So you should always respond. Every time you leave a church, you should say, and not just, you know, because, well, here's what happens. By 3 o'clock this afternoon, you won't even know what I said to you because you'll forget. But if you're responding to it the way God wants us to respond, it'll make a lot more sense. And maybe by Tuesday, you'll still remember it. By Wednesday, it'll be gone. But anyway, makes me feel so used and so forth. The hope that the words that you say in the Lord's Prayer have great importance and meaning to your spiritual development. And I just pray that you will continue to grow in your faith as a church. I know I'm excited about the interim that you have here now, and we'd love to come back. We love being here. You're such a great group of people. Barbie and I love it. So anyway, respond to the Lord's Prayer. Let me pray. So Holy Spirit, it's your work. It's your words. And we pray, God, that we would just respond. Maybe for some of us, we need to think of that person or people that we need to reconcile. Or Lord, maybe there's some basic needs that you want us to ponder and think about in our lives. Or maybe, Lord, we're going through a trial right now and we're like, well, wait a minute, what's going on? And yet we know that you're building us and we're going to be greater as we go forward. Not greater so we're better than anybody else, but we're greater because we have a sense of your presence and your work in our lives. And then, Lord, as we do the doxology of the prayer, we just know that you are sovereign and control. We love you. We just want to proclaim that to you. Help us to respond to your word now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Our next hymn is A Mighty Fortress. It's our God. This is one of the best known hymns written by Martin Luther. He wrote it in 1529 during the darkest times of the Reformation. This is what he wrote. Music is the gift and grace of God. Thus it drives out the devil and makes people cheerful. The devil flees before the sound of music almost as much as before the sound of God. A Mighty Fortress is our God.
Salvation.
Patty and I were saying this morning that we're never too old to learn, and we continue to learn, and I think it's wonderful to continue to get more and more information. As we say the Lord's Prayer again, now we have another added insight to what we're saying. So please join me in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses. Forgive those who trespass against us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And I would ask you to stand, and we will repeat the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Our sending song. Our benediction today is Psalm 18:32. It's a very short but very powerful reminder of God's loving support to each of us. It is God who arms me with strength and makes my way perfect. Go in peace and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you. keeps calling me.